Good evening. Welcome to Calvary Chapel and our Christmas celebration night. This greater what? I am so excited about tonight. I've been so looking forward to this. We have As Isaac tonight. What a blessing they always are. If you've not seen As Isaac, you're going to be extremely blessed. And we'll do that official intro in just a moment. I have a couple of announcements. First of all, if you're visiting with us, we're glad to have you with us tonight. A lot of exciting things going on. Kind of a real quick update on what we're doing here at Calvary. Some announcements to make sure we don't miss. Again, we're not going to be meeting this Saturday. Again, we normally have a Saturday night service. We won't be doing that because that's Christmas Day. And we know that everybody's going to be so scattered and running. We're just going to have our services, our regular services on Sunday morning. So be sure and mark that down. We'll do the same thing for New Year's. We'll have no Saturday night service and then the three on Saturday morning. And hopefully the rain will hold off so we can have the area, extra area down there to park, because I know it's going to be more crowded, but we'll work it out. Also, Parents Day Out, we have openings again for nursery twos and threes, fours and fives. If you have some kids that you know someone that needs kids watch, there are some openings. And so just contact the church. We'll give you the details on that. Also, again, we do have a new Spanish Bible study beginning January 13th. So if you know people that don't speak English, or maybe they're bilingual and they want to study the Bible in their own language, we are going to be starting January 13th here at 7 p.m. in the cafe. So be sure you spread the word on that. Sadly, our mission trip next week has been canceled. We just got back from a mission trip to Kentucky. We're having to cancel the one we had planned for this Sunday because Samaritan's Purse finished in that region and they pulled up camp. So that's great. I'm happy they got that done. But I'm sad we weren't able to go and take a group this time. We're actually looking out some of the other areas that need help. We're trying to find places to stay. And once we nail that down, we'll let you guys know. And hopefully we'll be able to send some more groups to help people out and give you an opportunity to go and serve and just preach the gospel. So, and again, lastly, tonight when we're done, we're going to have several stations. I'll remind you at the end because I know some people will come in later. But we do have cookie stations that will be set up. We have cookies from Ham and Goodies, four different kinds of cookies. We have coffee stations. We have hot chocolate stations. We have six fires that will be burning outside. And we're going to be having Christmas music playing out there as well as in here. And so it's going to be a great night of celebration when we're done. Don't leave. Hang out and party with us in the Lord and just enjoy Him. But why don't we pray right now, and then we'll turn it over to As Isaac and welcome them tonight. But let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that As Isaac was able to work it into their schedule to be here. What a blessing they are to us, God. What a blessing they are to you. We look forward to worshiping you and being a blessing, Lord, to you and the kingdom. We look forward to you meeting your people here by the power of your Spirit. We look forward to celebrating you, God, and celebrating the fact that you have come into the world to save us. And so, Lord, we pray your blessing on a night of celebration with you, and look forward to what you're going to do. So we thank you, God. We give it all to you, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. And so let's give a warm Calvary Chapel Knoxville welcome to As Isaac.
Good evening. Can we stand together?
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels.
Glory to God. Shall come to thee, O Israel.
Teach you a song. We'll teach you the chorus. We take you with us back to our home churches.
Please.
They are clapping impaired, but we still love them deeply. But if you could just give us a little bit of what you have.
We're still on the 1 and 3, guys. We're still clapping the wrong beat. It's okay. Also, y'all can feel free. I feel like we should set this up just so you know you're free here. But feel free to stand. Feel free to sit. Move about the cabin as you as you so need to.
But we're going to keep singing, though.
We're going to keep singing. We'll be standing. We're going to stand. But y'all just get comfy however you need to.
We're ready. We're going to teach you a chorus real quick of a song.
We're doing lots of teaching tonight. Y'all are good students.
So the chorus goes like this. Rejoice, rejoice, heaven and earth rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, heaven and earth rejoice. Try it. Rejoice, rejoice. Beautiful. To the skin and the dust of earth, out from the silence it broke our word, spoken from heaven in language we could know.
Yahweh.
Together sing our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns forever. Your kingdom reigns. Our God.
Our God.
You know, there's nothing like just getting your eyes off of all the mess we've been dealing with and just looking at Jesus. Isn't that the best? There's nothing like it, guys. Just looking at him and everything's okay. Everything's wonderful. What a great just time of worship and praise for the Lord. You know, I don't want to take long tonight. Really, I wanted this to be a night of worship and concert, and our kids are going to come up in a minute, but I didn't want to have the night without sharing again the birth of the Lord. And Sunday, we're going to be looking at the traditional story of the birth of the Lord in Luke. So tonight we're going to look at Matthew and the birth of the Lord. There's two accounts of Jesus's birth. One is in Luke and one is in Matthew. And they come with kind of a different feeling to them because it was a silent night. It was a sweet night, the night the Lord was born. It was a special night, a magical night. Not unlike tonight, just the sweetness of God's Spirit. But it was also a time of great turmoil. And so it seemed very appropriate, again, to see the kind of contrast that the Lord gives between both of these, because, again, we live in a time where we have the sweetness of the Lord, but indeed it is a time of turmoil, is it not? And Joseph and Mary were experiencing a time of turmoil, and again, we'll see on Sunday how, again, it was so tumultuous. Again, we know about Herod, again, putting to death the children 2 years old and younger, trying to kill the Lord and stop what God was doing, but of course, he couldn't do that. But tonight, as we look in Matthew, I want to read you out of Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. We'll be here in a couple other places and finish up. But notice what it says here. The setting again, remember, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. And his mother Mary, after his mother Mary, rather, was betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." Now again, we've all heard this story a million times. If you've been coming to church, if you've grown up in the church, if you've even just any kind of shows you saw growing up, we all know the Christmas story. But we need to hear it with fresh ears tonight and a fresh heart. And imagine what this must have been like. Again, remember, this was in that day, they would get married, if you will, a year before they were actually married or before they consummated the marriage. And so they would come together and there were prearranged family marriages. And Joseph and Mary had been prearranged to be married maybe from childhood on up, at least a year beforehand. And during this time, you were considered legally married. It literally had to get paperwork done for there to be a divorce, even though you'd not lived together, even though you've not consummated the marriage. And so Mary now during this time, suddenly she shows up pregnant. This is not a good thing. And again, especially the shock that would have been in Joseph's heart, because Mary was, again, he loved Mary. She was a woman of character. He was a man of character. And this would have been shocking to him. How could my Mary do something like this? How could this happen? But we see a lot about Joseph's character in this as well, because notice what it says. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. What a man of integrity. You know, you think about if that happened with us, how would you react? Would it be something you would want to keep secret and something you would still love your wife so much, or the one you wanted to be your wife so much that you would keep it private, even though you're heartbroken, even though you feel betrayed, all these different emotions going on in Joseph? But God is faithful now to reveal to Joseph what's happening. It says, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" In other words, Joseph, I did this. This is me. I did it. And it would have taken a dream from God to believe that, wouldn't it? And God knew that. In other words, I love the fact he came to Joseph in a dream, because what he's saying is, Joseph, don't be sad. She's still the woman of your dreams. She's still the woman of your dreams and the one that I chose for you. And boy, do I have a future for you, an amazing future for you and your family. He says, "And she will bring forth a son, and we'll call his name, you shall call his name Jesus." And here's the main gist of what we see tonight and what I want to get across to us tonight. He will save his people from their sins. This is why Jesus came. Now, I know as believers, we know this. Many of you have known the Lord for many years. You know that he died for our sins. That's why he came. And so I think it's easy sometimes to take that for granted. But aren't you glad tonight that Jesus died for your sins? And again, I think about the fact that what it was like before I knew the Lord. You know, before I gave my life to the Lord and not even realizing what that meant. I heard this growing up on a regular basis, but what did it mean? I didn't really understand what it meant. He died for my sins, but he died for my sins and he died for your sins. And if you've never come to know him in that way, that's his desire tonight, is that even as he revealed to Joseph, he was doing something special, something amazing, something beyond what Joseph or Mary could ever imagine. He wants to do something in us tonight as believers to encourage us and build us up and get our focus on him where it needs to be. But if you don't know the Lord, to invite you into his kingdom. And so, again, he came to die for our sins. That's what the cross was all about. The fact that he gave his life on the cross. "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, The virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Again, even in his name, God took on human form, the Bible says, and lived among us. Imagine that. God living among us in the form of a man. That's who Jesus Christ was. And Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, I'm sure, very excited at this point, and took to him his wife. And he did not know her until they had brought forth their firstborn son and called his name Jesus. That is, they didn't consummate the marriage physically until Jesus was born. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and we've come to worship him. Now, understand these wise men, these were the magi. They were the ones that were back in the days of Daniel in serving with Nebuchadnezzar there in the Iran area, the Babylon area, the Babylonians. They had the magi, that region. And so you wonder, how did magi from that region hear about the Lord? What were they doing seeking the Lord? And why were they looking for a star? Well, we don't know for sure, but the answer might be, and very possibly is, found in Numbers. Now I'm going to read a verse to you, and then we'll go back. Numbers 24, when Balaam was giving the prophecy. Remember, they had hired Balaam. Balak had hired Balaam to curse the children of Israel. He tried to, but God kept intervening and bringing a blessing. And we talked about how the people of God can't be cursed. God puts blessings on his people, not curses. And so although they hired him to curse the children of Israel, they couldn't. And in part of his blessing, he said this. He said, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. Speaking of the Messiah, he said, a star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy the sons of tumult. That is, he'll come, he'll rule, he'll reign, he'll conquer. Now, the star he was talking about there was Jesus himself, the Messiah. That was the star. And yet many believe that it's very possible that as Daniel was teaching the Magi, when he was there in Babylon, he was over the spiritual leaders, if you will, that he showed them these scriptures. And over time, they had come to believe there was going to actually be a star they would see that would represent when the Messiah was born. And maybe God did that so he could lead them that way. We know the star was speaking of the Lord, but it might be what caused them to follow and to see this star to the Lord. So they see this star. They come. They make it to Jerusalem. They come and tell Herod. And notice this. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Now, we've talked about Herod enough for you to know. Again, those of you that have been coming for any length of time to Calvary Chapel, Herod was an evil man. He was a wicked man, a very violent man. We talked about it last Sunday. And when Herod was troubled, everybody was troubled, right? The old, if Herod ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right? Herod wanted to be the king. He was power hungry. Nobody else can rule but me. And suddenly they show up and say, hey, there's this king that's been born in Bethlehem. Really? Who is this king? And of course, we're going to see what his intent is. And when he had gathered the chief priests and the scribes and the people together to inquire of them where the Christ was to be born, they said, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. It never ceases to amaze me that this wicked Herod was more interested in where Jesus was and what he was doing than the scribes and Pharisees of the day. They didn't seem to care. If they really believed what they were hearing these magi say, and they knew the scripture, they should have been running down to Bethlehem. But isn't that just like it? A lot of people that should be doing the right thing are not doing it. A lot of those that are the most religious are oftentimes the most lost. And those who simply have a heart that's open for the Lord, that's who God speaks to. And maybe that's some of you tonight. You've not been very religious. You've not been a church goer. Or maybe you have, but you've never really made a real commitment. You never knew what it was like to really meet the Lord, to make that commitment, to confess your sin and to be, ask him to be your Lord and your Savior. And tonight the Lord is revealing himself to you. Whatever your motive, he's here to reveal himself to you. Now Herod had a bad motive. And then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. He didn't want to worship him. He wanted to destroy him. And isn't that just like today? There are those who still today want to destroy the Lord. But here's the good news, and we've been singing about it all night tonight. Not only can he not be destroyed, he's coming back to rule and reign, and his kingdom will be here, I think, very soon. And no one can stop that. The Lord's plan will take place. He will establish his throne in Jerusalem. He will rule and reign. And we'll read about that in just a moment as we finish up. But notice what it says. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, we're going to get too sidetracked in this. But again, you've probably heard me say this before. I believe this star was actually an angel. I'm not going to fight with you theologically about it. I don't want to ruin all your Christmas stories growing up. But this star, whatever it was, appeared, disappeared, reappeared, moved. They were able to follow it, and it got low enough over a single house in a village that was chock full of houses that they could pick the exact house he was in. There's no star in heaven that you could ever get under and go, that's the house. I think this was an angel. And I think it was Gabriel, who was the messenger, the same one that came to Mary, the same one that came to Zechariah, and all this. And so, again, I think the angel led them straight to the home. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, the kingly metal, frankincense, the priestly metal, and myrrh, the ointment of embalming. The Lord is our king. The Lord is our priest. And the Lord died for us and was laid in the tomb. It's interesting, when we see on Sunday, they wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And the angel's going to say, and it was a sign. What was the sign? He will once again be wrapped in cloths and laid in a concrete trough, which, by the way, the manger would have been concrete. It would have been a feeding trough and an outdoor stall, which they were made of concrete in that day. And the picture is he will do this again, even as a baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a cave, if you will, which is where their animal shelters were, in a trough. It's a sign he will do it again. Except it'll be as a grown man after he's died for the sins of the world, which he fulfilled and came to do, and is laid in the tomb, which he will get up 3 days later and did get up 3 days later and now rules and reign in heaven until he comes back. And so notice it says, and so the gold, frankincense, and myrrh were the gifts they brought. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So the Christmas story. But I want to read something else, and probably one of the most famous Christmas verses in the Bible. But I want to give it a little bit more context. I'm going to give it a little bit of a running go and some background, because typically we all know the verse, for unto us a son is given. We know that. But I want to read a little bit before that, because we've been singing about it all night tonight. And knowing what God had put in my heart to share, I just sing the songs they were singing. They were talking about the Lord ruling and reigning and his kingdom from sea to sea and all that's going to be happening and getting our eyes on what's soon to happen. That's exactly what it talks about here in Isaiah chapter 9. And I want to read just a few verses for you as we finish up with this portion. Notice what it says. It says, nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. That is, again, there's gloom on Israel, but it will not remain. This is the Galilee region, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. And afterward, more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. It's prophesying about Jesus and him revealing himself there in the Galilee region. And those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. There's a light shining tonight upon each of us. And if any of you are dwelling right now in the shadow of death or the land of death, that is, you've not yet come to know Jesus as your Lord, you still have not had your sins taken away. His light is for you. This is the good news. He died for you. He wants to shine his light upon you that you might know the joy that you saw tonight. I try to imagine if I was here. I remember the first time I went into a place as an unbeliever and they were truly worshiping Jesus. It was pretty strange, but it was exciting in another strange way. I didn't understand it. I couldn't associate with it. They all seemed to really be involved in something I couldn't get involved in, but I knew it was real. And tonight what we experienced and what we're experiencing right now is real. It's the Spirit of God through worship. It's the Spirit of God speaking to you through the Word of God. And so what you're experiencing is something supernatural, and it's God revealing it to you so that you can be a part of his family, because he wants you to be with him forever in the kingdom of God. And so his extended invitation is to you. From the shadow of death, that his light may shine. He goes on. We'll get to the verse in a moment. You'll see what I mean. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy, that is Israel. They rejoiced before you according to the joy of the harvest. That is when God brings his people into the kingdom. And the Bible says in the last days, God will bring the Jews back into his kingdom. They will accept their Messiah. They will be saved. And we as the believers, believing Gentiles, will be in that kingdom with the Lord as he rules and reigns, and we celebrate with him and his people, Israel. Again, we sang tonight, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom. You'll rescue Israel, ransomed Israel. So he's going to ransom them. He's going to rescue them back from the enemy. And that's what he's talking about here. So everything we've been singing is perfect for where the Lord said we're going to be when he returns. As men rejoice when they divide the spoil, they will rejoice. For you've broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, and the day of Midian for every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garment rolled in blood, probably Armageddon as the Lord's second coming, will be used for burning and for fuel of fire. But then, the Bible tells us in Revelation, after the battle of Armageddon, that even if you're an unbeliever, you've probably heard about, Jesus will come in the second coming. He will defeat the armies of the world that are fighting against him. He will establish his kingdom in Jerusalem. And now we read what's going to happen. This is what we are seeing tonight, and this is going to be the future. Listen to this. It has a different meaning when you know the background and the foundation. For unto us a child is born. That is, this is what we're celebrating, the birth of Jesus Christ tonight. And unto us a son is given. The Father gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And the government will be upon his shoulder. Has that ever happened? The government has never been upon the Lord's shoulder yet. This is a future prophecy. What's it talking about? What we've already been discussing. He will establish his throne on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem when he comes back in the second coming. And the Bible says here and other places, he will rule and reign with total authority and justice and peace for 1,000 years. And then he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, and we'll be in both of them forever and ever and ever. That's good news. Who's not ready for that? I'm ready for that tonight. I say, let's do this thing. Let's get on with it, Lord. I'm ready to go, you know? And his name, notice what he's called. Here's the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Remember, he said he and the Father were one. Prince of Peace. Who needs peace tonight? He's your prince. Of his increase, of his government and his peace, there will be no end. And upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. How we need judgment and justice today, don't we? From that time forward, even forevermore, I love this, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Take it to the bank. God said it. It's going to happen. Now, here's the question as we finish this portion here. Where are you going to be when that happens? You know, I remember growing up going to church as a kid, you know. My dad was a pastor, and I didn't get saved until I was later on in life, although I was attending church my whole life growing up. And I remember going every year, and I loved Christmas. I loved the Christmas celebration. I loved the lights. I loved all the desserts, especially. I loved the presents, of course, right? But I loved the presents, but never really the presence of the Lord, not to be corny. But I never really knew anything other than this is a fun time that we celebrate and we do whatever. And there was a day, there was a certain time where God just rolled away the stone from my heart, and he opened my eyes. I believe that's for someone tonight. And I think more than one of you. I think some of you tonight, God is rolling away the stone from your heart and the blindness of your eyes. And for the first time, although you've grown up as a kid, with all the excitement we have as a child, with all the Christmas gifts and all the things that happen, everything that's taking place, tonight, for the first time, your eyes are open. You're realizing for the first time, it's not just a Bible verse on a card. It's not just a Christmas tree in the house. It's not just going to church on a certain day. You realize he really did. God came in human form. He really did die for me on a cross. He really rose again 3 days later. He's alive right now, and I've seen it, and I experienced it in this room and what all these people have been doing. And I know I'm not a part of it, but I want to be a part of it. Some of you, for the first time, God is opening your eyes right now. If that's happening, respond. Respond to the Lord. In just a moment, I'm going to pray, and you can pray along with me if that's you. Listen, we'll pray for us as believers to be filled with God's joy and be filled with God's Spirit, which we already are. We're going to ask for more, for God to pour out his Spirit, and we're going to be filled with even more joy when our kiddos get up here in just a second. But it's not just about rejoicing for the believers. It's about inviting those who are not yet a part of the family to come on in. I want you to know something. You're greatly loved. You're not alone. God sees you. And God called you here tonight. You could have gone anywhere, but you came here. Yeah, but somebody invited me. I just decided to show up. Whatever your reason is, the Bible says that God controls all that. You might think it's just some nonchalant reason. The Lord knows, I brought you here tonight to see these people worship God. I brought you here tonight to be in the presence of the Spirit of God. I brought you here tonight to speak through my word to your heart that you might give your life to me, that I might know you forever, because I've chosen you and I've called you and you're mine. And tonight I'm calling you to make a decision to come to me. And for some of you right now, that's your opportunity. This is your opportunity. Listen, respond to it. And I want to take just a moment to pray. And I'll pray for all of us, as I said first. And then I want to pray for those of you who God is moving in your heart. You know, this is your moment to receive the Lord. Now, I want to say one other thing before we pray. This is not something you do just at your checklist. Check it off. I prayed. I'm going to go to heaven. If this is just from your head and your mouth, it means nothing. You need to make the decision. Don't get me wrong. You need to tell the Lord. Don't get me wrong. But it needs to come from the heart. If this is not from the heart, don't pray it, because it won't mean anything. God is looking at your heart right now. He's not impressed with words. He's not impressed with, oh no, I just don't want to go to hell. He's looking at your heart saying, I love you. And I gave it all up for you. I gave everything up for you. I left glory to take on a human shell. I lived and went through all the struggles that people go through, all the battles of temptation, and I conquered it, never sinned. And then I allowed sinful mankind, who I created one by one, and molded and shaped, even in the womb, the Bible says, I made each of them, and I allowed them to attack me. I allowed them to rip out my hair and to beat me and to nail me to a cross. And even on the cross, I didn't say, Father, get them. I said, Father, forgive them. They don't understand. I know. I came from glory. I've seen heaven. I know the Father. I know the future. I love them. I want them in my family, and I've come for you. That's why you're here tonight. And so you need to respond. And so let's pray. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. Don't fight it. How long have you been fighting it? I just feel a sense of urgency tonight. I don't know how long we have before the Lord returns. And I'm not going to, you know, try to use scare tactics. You better, this could be, or whatever. I'm saying there's a sense of urgency in the air in the world today. And I believe there's a sense of urgency in what God is saying to you tonight. And I plead with you, respond. Again, you have to make the decision. I'm simply making the appeal, and the Holy Spirit is making the appeal through me to you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Father, for all here tonight that know you and that have already made the commitment. And what a great night of worship, Lord, just praising you and giving you glory. And I thank you that for me, it's real and it's a relationship, and that I know you. And for all of us that know you, God, we're celebrating you. It's not just church. It's not just religion. And I thank you for the joy that you give us. God, I thank you for pouring out your spirit and your joy on your people tonight. We've been through a lot. And Lord, the last days are going to get interesting even more so. And how important it is for us to keep our eyes on you, and what a reward we have when we do. What joy when we just forget about the mess down here and focus on you, Lord. And I thank you for that tonight. Lord, I thank you with all my heart. But God, tonight, I believe there are some here right now, either in this room or listening by radio right now, or maybe even watching by live streaming. And for the first time in their life, they get it. You've opened their eyes. You've softened their heart. They know they need to be saved. And they know you died for them and you came to this world in what we're celebrating tonight to save them. If that's you and you want to make that commitment now, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Lord Jesus, I confess to you, I am guilty of sin before your throne. And I believe that you came into this world to rescue and save me. I believe you went to the cross and you died on the cross and you spilled your blood for me. Lord, forgive me. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your spirit. I repent of my sin, and I give my life to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we move on to the kids, If you gave your life to the Lord, obviously the pastors will be up here right afterwards, and elders and deacons, any of that are here tonight, I'll ask you to be up here as well to pray with anyone that needs prayer. And we're not done yet. We still got some great things to go here. But if you gave your life to the Lord and we don't get a chance to talk to you, on your way out on the right, there's these bags there. We call them salvation bags. The bag didn't save you. You know that. But they're salvation bags, and they say in the bag what you've done. They tell you the commitments you've made. They tell you how to get your walk started with God, what you need to do, getting in the Word, beginning to pray, coming to fellowship, how you get to know God, and they'll walk you through that process. Grab one of those on the way out. Don't leave either way without one of those. We want to make sure you have that in your hand. It's not just like a gift. It's some way to help you get started in your walk. Because I can promise you this, if you made a commitment to the Lord tonight, there's going to be a battle the moment you walk out that door. And the enemy is going to try to pull you back into the world. And this is where you're going to need the power of God and need to understand what you need to do and the support of other family that can help you start your walk. So just know that we're here for you. And again, don't leave without grabbing one of those bags. Now, tonight, we have a couple of special things. We have our kids here that come to Calvary are going to come up, and they're going to do a couple of songs. And then after that, we have our Parents Day Out kids, and they're going to come up and do a verse, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And then we're going to have a little bit more worship to go out with As Isaac, which, again, is going to be awesome, as you know. But why don't we do this? Let's go ahead and have our kiddos come up, who's ever leading the kids. Come, bring them on up, Abby, and we'll let the kids come up and just kind of sing for us and enjoy them. And again, I love it. The Bible says that praise is perfected in children. You know why? They just believe in God. They just believe their Father. They believe Him. They just sing to Him. They love Him. And so, again, it's always a special treat to have these guys do this. And so, wow, this is great. Fall on up here, guys. This is wonderful. Do you need a mic? I'm going to move out of the way completely. What do you need? Say, get out of the way. That's what I need. You to get out of my way. All right, I'll turn it over to you. Do you want a mic? Or do you need a mic? Okay, you're good. I think we may need a bigger stage, right? Isn't this great? I love it. Keep them filing in there. This is great. We have a row up front as well, right? This is great. Oh, is this Parents Day? Okay. For those listening by radio, we're not off the air. We're lining all the kids up, and so we'll be ready in just a moment.
Of this hope and sing of his endless love. The dawn for heaven is here, and all the angels sing. A child divine, the crown of the ages, come worship the newborn king. This is Jesus.
All right, so now we have our parents' day out. Is that right? We'll give a second here to rearrange and... Give a second for all the kids to file out. And and then we'll bring our Mother's Day out, kiddos up here. You guys did a great job. That was great. Wasn't that great? You did wonderful. Love it. Right. Takes a while to get that many kids up here and back down. Yes. Again, as you guys may or may not know, we started a Parents Day Out ministry this year, this fall, and it's going great. We have a great group of kids, and so we wanted them to be a part of tonight as well. And so they're going to come up. I think they have a verse to share with us tonight. And so once we get all these guys filed out, we'll get those guys up here and let them do their verse. And all right, so... Here we go. All right. Yay. Why don't we welcome these guys? Let's welcome them. Give a clap for them. Get ready.
I can't do that. An angel of the Lord. Okay. God said, God select the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life.
All right, was that great or what? Yes, yes, I love it. That's the 3 and 4 year old class, and Jill does a great job with them, doesn't she? Doesn't she do a great job? Oh, hold on, we have more. If as Isaac, you guys can come on back up, or you still will still, we have time for another song here or so. Oh, they're right behind me, I should have known that. So I think we moved your mic here so you can put it where you need to, but yeah, what a blessing, guys. Again, just a great night. We'll finish up with some worship. And like I said, I'll be back up with some last-minute housekeeping here, announcements before we're done. But let's just get back to worshiping the Lord.
Ooh, I don't know how we can top that worship, but it's fine. We were just losing
We can't. That's the answer.
Yeah, there is no way.
Oh, you know, we were thinking, you know, maybe after you were thinking during the message, like maybe we should close with Go Tell on the Mountain.
They're like, oh, never mind.
We would be such a terrible letdown.
Yeah, we don't want that.
We have no hand motions. And ours is like kind of a slow, contemplative, halftime 6-8 kind of thing, you know?
Ooh. Yeah, so we're resorting to Plan B. Are y'all okay with Plan B? All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Awesome. Awesome. What a great evening. Well, this is a great evening.